Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're talking now with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, chairman of the Threat Knowledge Group and holder of the Major General Matthew Horner Distinguished Chair of Military Theory at the Marine Corps University. Dr. Gorka, I wanted to ask you about the recent deployment of troops to Syria. This massive wave of U.S. boots on the ground, all 50 of them, is almost certainly going to turn the tide, and we should be having a victory parade, peace and prosperity in no time, correct?
Such cynicism. Oh, my word. Well, thank you for having me on the show. There's several issues with this reversal of the White House policy to Syria and really what is a worse than a pinprick. Number one, it sends a very clear message to everybody in the region, be they our allies, our partners, or the bad guys, ISIS, or people who do not have our interests at heart, such as Vladimir Putin. It sends a message that we are not serious. ISIS has at least 60,000 fighters at its disposal. Russia, which just deployed into the region, has sent 2,000 operators, more than 3,000 combat aircraft, air defense assets. So the idea that we're sending 50 special forces advisors really is a worse than doing nothing, because it means that we're not interested in actually being a player. Secondly, there's a technical issue here, if you just indulge me for a moment. These individuals, the special operations forces, and especially the people from Fort Bragg, our special forces, are designed to do two functions mainly. When they're not doing counterterrorism in terms of direct actions against high-value targets, they're supposed to be fighting against insurgent forces, supporting a government that we like, or they're supposed to be acting as an insurgent force, taking down a government that we are not in favor of, that's staying in the region. In this case, they're doing neither. They're not helping Assad stay in power, nor are they assisting anti-Assad forces to remove him. They are going there to fight to support certain good insurgents against certain bad insurgents. This is not the mission they were created to execute. As a result, we have added confusion to our lack of seriousness.
I wanted to jump to another piece that I think is very important related to the Islamic State and efforts against them, because they have been very successful in one particular arena, and that's information operations. Now, there's been a long-standing, I guess, difference of opinion between al-Qaeda and the groups that coalesced and became the Islamic State about, do we take territory and plant a flag, or do we do a long war propaganda campaign, and what are the major beefs we're talking about? ISIS just decided, you know, we're going to kill them all, let God or Allah sort them out, and we're going to brag about it in almost a, you know, a clickbaity kind of way. And it seems to be working for them among the people that they're looking to talk to, young, disaffected Islamic males.
Yeah, absolutely. this comes out of a report that my company, Threat Knowledge Group, did for the outgoing commanding general at USASOC at Fort Bragg. And in our report, which you can find online, it's really the challenge for America is understanding that the center of gravity of ISIS isn't the people they're recruiting, isn't their bases in Iraq or Syria. It is their message. It is the fact that they have, unlike any other jihadi group for the last 90 years, been successful in reestablishing the caliphate, the Islamic theocratic empire. And with that, they also mix into their information operations the idea that end times has begun. This has to be taken seriously. If you read their magazines like Dabiq, if you listen to the pronouncements of their head, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, they have said, we have captured the territory which will see the final jihad. This is called al-Sham. We are beginning the end times. And if you want to save your soul, young man, better become a jihadi right now, because there will be no other jihad, and this is the last chance you have to cleanse your souls. Think about this. They have recruited in the first 12 months of their renewed operations in Iraq 22,000 foreign fighters. That's on top of the Iraqis and Syrians, the domestic fighters. These are Westerners, 4,000 Westerners, Australians, Brits, Americans. How else can we explain those recruiting figures if not this message of apocalyptic end times? And if there's really a JV team out there, it isn't ISIS. It is Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda never managed to recruit this many people, and Al-Qaeda failed for 20 years to reestablish the caliphate.
So they've raised the black flag, they've taken territory, they have told the Ummah, the Islamic world, that this is it. This is the existential fight where we win and the infidels lose. And the message is a winner in a lot of these areas. What can we do to go against that? What message from the United States or the free world is going to counter that among people who believe that Islam is not just a religion, but it's an entire way of life?
There's two prongs to this attack, because we don't want to declare a war against Islam, because there are good Muslims. And remember, what was the religion of Lieutenant Kasaspe, the pilot in the cage who was burnt by ISIS? He was a Muslim too, but he's our kind of allied partner Muslim, a good guy. So two prongs. We have to be clear. We need a president who says we are in a war against evil. It's not about economic disenfranchisement. It's not about jobs for jihadis. It is about evil incarnate, like the Nazis with their death camps. The people who are beheading so-called infidels are the incarnation of evil, not people who didn't get enough hugs from their daddy when they were kids. So that's number one. But number two, we have to empower the local actors, because really, it's not going to be us that finally win this war. It's not going to be white-skinned or black-skinned Christians or atheists who win this war. It's going to be the local good guys, the local Sunnis. It's going to be the Jordanians. It's going to be the Egyptians. It's going to be Sisi. It's going to be King Abdullah II. It's going to be the Kurds. But they are not, repeat, not going to take the fight to ISIS unless they believe we are behind them. You know how the region works as well as I do. They will not leave the barracks unless they believe Washington is behind them 100%. And you know what? After the last 14 years and after what we did in 2011 in Iraq, they don't trust us. And believe me, if I was in their position, I wouldn't trust America either. That's the sad reality.
You mentioned that the enemies need to be described as evil. I think there's going to be a continued battle as to whether or not we declare that they are Islamic evil, or whether we continue to euphemize about that. And I think the idea that we can get a rise of the moderate or non-Sharia adherent or less extreme Muslims against them without getting those folks to at least agree that these people are fighting for a cause they can justify with Islamic teachings in some way, but needs to be reformed, I think is a key. Do you think we can pull that off?
I think we can't pull it off, but we can make it happen. Think about this. We've been waiting 14 years for what happened on January 1st this year. President Sisi, the elected head of the largest Arab nation in the world, went to the clerics of the Al-Azhar, the equivalent of the Vatican for Islam, and said, gentlemen, you have to help me execute a religious revolution in Islam to take down the jihadis because they're winning. He knows this is a religious war inside Islam that is also seeing the collateral damage of Christians, Jews, Yazidis, you name it. But we are insisting on saying, hey, religion has nothing do with it. So you know what? I believe the Muslim president more than I believe our administration about what's the nature of this war. We have to get politics out of the intelligence cycle. When we say to our professionals, religion has nothing to do with this, don't call them jihadis. When they themselves call themselves jihadis, it would be the equivalent of saying, you know, the KKK weren't white supremacists, they were just misguided Democrats, or saying to the guys about to storm the beaches in Operation Overlord in 1944, hey guys, don't call the enemy Nazis, because that could hurt their feelings. We have so allowed censorship and political correctness into the national security function that we are endangering American lives and the lives of our partners in the region.
Well, let's hope that we can find a leader who understands that and who can help us gain the allies we need, support guys who are like the ones attempting to have Al-Azhar back us and turn the tide of this information war. We've been talking with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, chairman of the Threat Knowledge Group. You can find more of his writings at thegorkabriefing.com. Up next, we'll talk with Kyle Scheidler, director of the Threat Information Office for the Center for Security Policy. This is Jim Hansen doing Secure Freedom Radio.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.